and I want to welcome into the studio Jack Bourne, our own Jack Bourne. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming in to see me.
Thanks very much for inviting me.
We're 20 years in existence now, near FM.
Yeah.
You know, I'm only a blow-in. I'm only here about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But just tell us a little bit about yourself, how this all came about, because I don't think our listeners would know
think we don't explain ourselves enough. I think to a lot of our listeners we sound like just another radio station. But there's a whole ethos behind doing community radio. My sort of involvement with it was that I was always a sort of a community activist, setting up credit unions and doing other projects, and I often found that we couldn't get much help from media, particularly print media, and certainly radio, television didn't want to know about local activities. In fact, I found the only time media came to our general area of northeast Dublin was to report on a gangland murder or joyriding or drugs problems. So there were all the negative that was around the area. And unfortunately, a lot of people tended to believe that they were nearly living in a war zone if you believed the only stories they heard about their area was these negative things. And I knew from my own experience of developing community projects that there was a lot of good people doing good community development work quietly but unacknowledged, and no media was interested in those stories about community development. So, I mean, I'm not a technical person, but out of that, at the time I was looking around, there was a lot of pirate radio, local commercial pirate radio, young lads particularly, trying to sell a few ads and play the latest chart music. But I thought, here's a technology that's becoming available and we might be able to use it for community development purposes. So we actually were on air for several years as a pirate radio station. We did the whole thing, police raids and all the rest of it.
Radio Caroline.
So we were all that sort of, we did all that sort of stuff. And eventually in 1995, We got a license to broadcast to northeast Dublin, and as I say, near actually is an acronym for Northeast Access Radio, and we've said near, it sounds clever because we're close to you, we're nearby, that sort of thing. So that's where the near word comes from. But once we got going in 95, then John, I mean, it was a different ball game because we had the license, we could apply for funding. We're not a commercial radio station. In fact, we'd rather not take ads if we could get away with it, because we feel the sort of programming we're trying to do is to honestly inform listeners, and quite often advertising can set out to mislead people. So we didn't feel it was a suitable format for community radio. The problem is it's difficult to get enough money through grants and other fundraising to run a radio station, you know.
Funding is always a big problem. Yeah. Only after I'm talking to the Northside Enterprise Centre and they're talking about they're looking for funding for rebranding and all this. And
well, this is the problem. We often find that we're competing with other community development projects for the same pot of money. So there's nothing easy. We are looking to the future. We were in talking to the current government, Pat Rabbit, when he was Minister for Communications. There is moves afoot to restructure the licence fee, the television licence fee, to a broadcasting charge. The idea is that lots of people now access media on their laptops and tablets and other things. They don't actually have a television set. So the charge will broaden the range of people who will pay. Even in the building here, we would probably wind up having to pay, plus all the other tenants of the Civic Centre here, would all pay this charge because they all have equipment that can access media. So it'll be a broader charge. We were making the case to Pat Rabbit that because it could broaden the charge, he could actually offer to reduce it per household. So the licence fee would go down by 5 or 10 euro for everybody, but there would be a bigger pot of money. And so RTE would get a larger pot of money. And we felt that community media, as the other not-for-profit media service, could get a percentage, a small slice of that larger pot of money. So we're still looking at that and we're trying to take it forward. It's not going to happen in the lifetime of this government. That won't bring in another charge. There's no way they're going to bring in. But I think the next government, so what we're trying at the moment is to make sure that all the political parties going into the next election have in their election manifesto a commitment to give a portion of the new broadcasting charge to community media. So it might mean a sort of some core funding for community radio.
Yeah. And we spoke about setting up of Near FM. Was Near FM the first community radio station?
Well, we've been driving it. We actually weren't the first to go on air. Dublin South over in Dundrum beat us by a couple of months to go on air. But no, in fact, at the time we were pirate, there was about five or six other good community pirate radio stations around the country, in Kilkenny and in Connemara and elsewhere. And those all got licences at the same time as we did. So we were one of the first. I think Dublin South got on just ahead of us. I think they went on in June and we went on in August of 95. So they just got on ahead of us. But we would have been one of the first. And we've been near, I don't like to say it when we're meeting, there's an organisation called CRAIL, which is Irish for Broadcast. This is the network of community radios. There's about 25 community radio stations now around the country. But we do a lot of the driving of that organisation, what it's doing. I don't like to say that at the CRAIL meeting because people don't like to think you're showing off. But between ourselves, you and me and the listeners of Near FM, we can say it here among ourselves, Near is the one of the driving forces in driving community media in this country, you know.
Yeah, well, I interviewed Sean Haughey there a while ago, and your name came up in the conversation, and he was talking about your skills as a fundraiser, and he was saying Jack always had a way about him. He was able to get money out of me all the time.
Sean. Yeah.
So going back to the funding and the setting up of Near FM, like, how did it start? Like, I've had people in here, and they've come to me from an interview on RTE, and they say, my God, the gear you have in here and the setup is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we are. But you see, it started from my concept that people doing voluntary work shouldn't be working in a cow shed. I mean, they should have decent working conditions. So we set out to do that. But Sean is right. I mean, that's all I do. I mean, people just say to me, what program do you do? I don't do a program because I'm too busy chasing around looking for money to keep the damn
thing going.
But I have to say, in terms of not getting too political, but Fianna Fáil over the years have been good to us, you know. Not many people say that nice about Fianna Fáil anymore, but I have to acknowledge publicly that they were always very good with funding projects that I would approach them on, you know. So including here, we got money from Michael Woods, who was Minister for Education at the time, liked what we were doing and could see the educational potential in what we were doing, he helped with a lot of the capital costs. So when we were coming into this new building and talking our way into the OPW to get nice studios built, at great cost to the OPW, not to us. More spoofing, John, I'm afraid. but most of the equipment, as I say, was provided by Fianna Fáil, by Michael Woods, you know. So, I mean, we should publicly acknowledge that fact. And Sean Haughey, as I say, certainly coming after that, was generous also in looking, because they recognised what we were doing was of social benefit to the community. So I was unashamedly looking for money. If I was asking for a loan of a fiver for me, I'd be embarrassed. But I can ask for a million for the community feel it's for a good cause. And I have no problem with saying to here, open the till and give us a few shillings there, you know. So that's what I've done over the years, John, basically, is I've been the sort of the bag man for community radio, raising money.
Check the bag man.
Yeah.
Well, I've interviewed a lot of people, and it seems that all governments should be very, very interested in community radio because the stuff we cover. I've spoken to a few politicians and councillors and all that, and they seem to be all of the mind that they're going back to basics and working from within the community and helping out in the community. So how does the future look as regards government funding?
I mean, I'm now holding out a hope for this public service broadcasting charge. But if we don't get that, no, I think things look bleak. I think this present government is actually moving away from community development. They're actually putting even the Northside Partnership and the whole community development thing is being privatised, if possible, you know. I don't think the mindset of this government is good in terms of supporting grassroots community development at all. So I don't know who you're talking to, but my experience is the opposite. I have found very little support for community development, certainly for funding community development. And as I say, there's a sort of a mindset of privatising everything, which to me runs entirely counter to what should be where the money should be going. I mean, projects like ourselves, like other community education and development organisations, we do a lot of the work that the government should be doing. So they're outsourcing to us, but they won't fund us, you know.
Yeah, and I've also had a lot of people saying that as well. That I'd be interviewing somebody and they'd say, oh, it was ESET, they're involved in IT and protecting from scams and stuff like this. And I'd say, how come people don't know about this? And the answer I got was because media don't cover it.
No.
You never see it in the national papers.
No, I think we do. In fact, I think one of the things we have done is that we've sourced voices and stories that don't get told elsewhere. And as I say, I think that's the benefit and attraction of community radio. It also allows local people to gain some experience of coming in and talking. And most of them, when they come in the first time, they're nervous and their mouth dries up and they drink water. But they often would say, if they got onto RTE, God, I made an awful hames of that. If I could get a second chance, I'd be better at it. But yeah, the beauty of community radio is that you do get a second chance, that community activists in this area can gain real experience of articulating their aspirations, their concerns, by coming back repeatedly onto. Because I think their stories, it's not like where mainstream media, you're an event and they move on the next day. For us, we allow these community activists to tell their story, the narrative of what they're trying to do, have they achieved it, did they fail, what will they do next. So there's that ongoing narrative that the listeners and the activists can share, and I think that can only be done by a community station that's very local and accessible to the community, John. I think those are the sort of strengths that we bring to media. We are different. It's not that we're small and sort of poor, you know, and stuck away here in the corner of Coolock. This is exactly where we need to be to do our job. Community radio needs to be very local and accessible to its community. If we got too big, it would dilute the impact we can have. So we are exactly where we should be, not by happenstance, by design. We're exactly where we need to be and want to be to provide that kind of service to our community.
And it's a great situation. The studios are all great and very well. The machinery is all fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, my next guest talking about community and local people is from Clonshock. Right. She's doing fundraising for an autism service dog for two of her children. So she's going to come in, and she was saying to me that I'm very, very nervous, John.
Well, of course. You know? Well, tell her the second time she comes back, she'll be so much better. You know, you won't be able to stop her talking. You know, but I mean, that's insane. That voice wouldn't be heard anywhere else if we didn't exist, John. Do you know what I mean? This woman coming to talk about her issues. This is exactly what we're here for, to provide that service. You know, and as I should acknowledge, we're 20 years this year. We wouldn't have existed without all of the volunteers and the staff that have come through the doors of Near FM. We've been well served by volunteers and staff, and I just would like to publicly thank them and acknowledge their contribution to us surviving for 20 years.
Yeah, and I know them, and they're all very dedicated people, you know, and for volunteers to come in, give up their time and come in and to serve the community on air. It is.
Some will do it out of ego. They love being DJs and broadcasting. But I think we've got rid of most of the headbangers and the DJs. So most of the people who do the program here have understood our ethos of community development. I'll just tell you a short anecdote, and I won't tie up too much of your time. When the network of Crail, the first time we all met, all these 20 stations that got licenses, and I found everybody was talking technically, what sort of mixing desk have you got, what sort of a transmitter, and what's your advertising rate card like, and they were talking radio. And I stood up and announced, you're not radio stations, do you know that, you're not radio stations. And those fellas having heart attacks all over the place. We just bought a new transmitter, and he says we're not a radio. I said, you're community development, and radio is just your tool. This is the tool you use for it. And it was gratifying that by the end of the weekend, it was two lads at the bar beside me, I was getting a pint, and one fella says to you, do you know, by the way, we're not radio See. Stations at all, we're community development, you know. See. So the message got through. Now when we meet in Crail in the network, the talk is community development. So we really did turn a corner away from being radio stations to being community development resources. And the radio, the technology, is just incidental. It's like a spade or a shovel or a hammer. It's our tool to do community development.
So there's a mindset there had to be changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, I think we could go on talking for a bit.
Listen, have you another hour? I'm waiting 20 years to be interviewed, for God's sake.
Well, do we have a bit more time before?
No, it's up to you. I was for a while was president of AMARC Europe, again an acknowledgement of NEAR. We should explain this, by the way. The community radios network all across the planet and on each continent. So I was president of AMARC Europe for a while, and I brought in a charter. Well, I negotiated it across Europe, a charter for community radio in Europe, and it basically deals with the fact that we're not for profit, that we're democratically owned by the community, that we try to honestly inform, that we're independent of all other powers. All of that sort of stuff is in the charter. And when the BAI were issuing licenses to community radio here, I convinced them that this AMARC charter should be attached to the licenses of every community radio station. So I wanted to make sure that they all understood what they were doing. This was in the early days. Now they all do. But copper fasten how influential NEAR has been over the years. Currently, Soledad Galeana, who's the manager of NEAR FM, is the current president of AMARC Europe. And Kieran Murray, who's the project coordinator for the whole media co-op, is the president of the other Community Media Federation of Europe. So we've two presidents in our office here
presidents.
And one ex-president sitting across from you. So that's not bad for a small organisation broadcasting out of Coolock.
Yeah, and compared to other community radio stations, would we be up there? Or
We tend to. It's not a case of showing off. We do try to set the bench fairly high, the bar fairly high, and it's really to get the other stations to aspire to do what we're doing, you know. I mean, we've been very successful in, there's a sound and vision scheme, which is a percentage of the licence fee that is available. It's available to RTE, to the commercial local radios, and to community radio. But we in NEAR have been very successful in drawing down funding from that. It's to fund us to make programmes, and we've been quite successful. And again, we're very generous with the information. We run workshops for other community radio stations to show them, because unfortunately, the model is sort of competitive. But nevertheless, we keep saying community radio shouldn't be competing with each other. There's room for everybody to advance and get some money. So we do show them, we actually give them copies of our successful applications to copy, because someone in Connemara or Donegal could take the same maybe interaction with a school and just adapt it to a local school in their area. So it shouldn't really affect us. But no, we've always been very generous with our time. When new groups are forming, they'll come up, a delegation will come up, and we'll show them around, and we'll go through everything, the finances, the management structures, the programming. We'll tell them warts and all. Here are the problems, here's the things to watch out for. So I think we've been very generous, but I do think we are acknowledged as probably the leading community radio station in the country. That too loud outside of our own ambit here.
Just to let the listeners know.
But our listeners should be proud of their community radio station. I think we've achieved quite a bit over the last 20 years. Most of my ambitions at the start have been achieved. So to some extent, I'm sort of in the twilight years now, you know. I'm sort of happy that, first of all, that it exists. Because when I started out, politicians looked at me as if I was mad, you know. Yeah. They understood public service media through RTE. And then the mindset was, sure, commercial radio is the competitor, the alternative to public service broadcasting, and all the politicians thought we license commercial radio. So I was saying, us community radio, and they're saying, who are you, what are you talking about? So from that early sort of days of incredulity and incomprehension, now community radio is recognised as a valuable third sector in media across Ireland. So I'm sort of pleased in a way. I'll be getting my wheelchair out shortly, but I'm pleased to be sitting in my wheelchair and feeling we've achieved something that we set out to do that didn't exist. In fact, without some of the people around me in the early days of our project here, there wouldn't be community radio in this country. And so we can be quite pleased going into our 20th year that we have achieved something, and that we have a fine radio station. And it's open to all the listeners. Anybody wants to come in and talk about anything, if they have any sort of projects, the door is always open, John. So, they should come in and access and come in and see the facilities and see you sitting there behind your big desk
with my earphones on. Well, listen, a lot of that is down to you, Jack, so you know, congratulations, and from all the presenters and producers and volunteers and everybody else, thank you, you know, because we're all dedicated to different things, and I can cover things that are close to my heart, like St. Michael's House around the corner and stuff like that.
Yes, yes.
And they're very grateful to be able to come on air to cover fundraising and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
Thank you and congratulations. And
talk to my wife sometime and see how she thinks about it.
And mine.
Okay, thanks, John, for having me.
Thank you, Jack.